Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Lamed Ches. We are starting today on the very bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Agadata. Agadata started yesterday, continuing today, continue tomorrow. 3 days of Agadata in the daf. Yesterday, the reason why the Gemara got onto the Agadata is because of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about the procedural, the process in which we're going to be intimidating the witnesses. We're going to do two things with the witnesses. Number one, we want to scare them. We want to scare them straight and scare them honest. But on the other hand, also we want to encourage them to testify. So it's a balance. And as I mentioned yesterday, and we try to do both. We try to scare them so that what they're giving is honest reporting. At the same time, also we also really want to encourage them to say it like it is. In that line, so one of the things we did back in the Mishnah is that we remind them that if they're in fact lying, so they're going to be responsible for the death of a human being. The death of a human being is a catastrophe. The world was started with one human being. So, and to speak to the significance of one human being, you can't just simply take a life of a human being and say it's not a big deal, there are 7.5 billion other of them. It doesn't work that way. In other words, the significance of one human being is really the entirety of an entire world. So we got onto that, and the Gemara discuss the killing of Cain and Hevel, why it says the words damim as opposed to dam. Not only were you killing Cain, but you were killing all his progeny as well. We talked about how Cain was sent into exile, and it served as a kapara. And we talked about other people who were sent into exile, and it served as a kapara. How much kapara did a person receive by being sent into exile? So we saw a couple of opinions yesterday, several opinions. The Gemara now is going to be focused on Yechaniah. In Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so Nebuchadnezzar came in stages and destroyed in stages and exiled in stages. When we get to the beginning of Masechet Megillah, about Daf Yud Yud Aleph, so the Gemara over there actually takes us through year by year who was exiled when. But to put it succinctly right now, so Yechaniah was exiled first, and approximately 11 years later, Sidkiyahu, who was then appointed to be the king of the last king of the Jewish people, so he was exiled. And with the exile of Tzidkiyahu comes the final destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the first Beis HaMikdash. So we are now describing Yechaniah because he was sent into exile, and the Gemara says it was served as a kapara. How do we know that? Because the Navi reports that the Yirmiyahu says to Yechaniah, you're not going to have any children. And then he was sent into exile and he had a child. So how did that work? Meaning, how can Navi wasn't wrong? So the Gemara's understanding is that no, the Navi wasn't wrong. Meaning that the divine plan was that he was not going to have any children, but then by being sent into Galus, so that serves as a kapara, and then he was able to have a child. Ubaster de Galus. This is exactly where we're picking up in the Gemara from where we left off yesterday. Three lines from the bottom on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Ubaster de Galus, and after he was sent into exile, see if it says Ubnei Yechaniah Asir Shaltiel Beno. So his name was Asir Shaltiel. Okay, this is an unusual name. The Gemara now darshans the name, as the Gemara often does. So, Asir she'ibra solima bebeis ha'asurim. So, where did conception take place? Conception took place in the prison. Meaning, after Yechaniah was sent into exile, and after he was imprisoned, so him and his mother had conception over there. Shaltiel, him and his wife, to be clear. Him and his wife had a conception over there, so that the child, the resulting child, whose name was Shaltiel, was Asir Shaltiel, was conceived there. Shaltiel Sheshaslu Kel Shelo Kederach Hanishasna. Now, the way that conception occurred here is not in a way in the usual manner. The Gemara goes on to explain immediately. Gemir, we have a tradition. Ein Aisha Metaberet Meumad, that a woman cannot conceive if she is standing up. Meaning if relations is taking place vertically, so it will not produce it will not generally yield a child. Ve'inis Abra Meumad, now she was standing. She and Yechaniah were standing at the time of conception. Rashi explains very simply on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph that the cell that Yechaniah was kept in was a very small cell, and there was not enough room there for them to be in the proper position. So therefore, they were standing, and it's unusual for them for a husband and wife to conceive in that position. But that's Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed in this case to happen. Dava Acher, the Gemara gives another pshat. Shaltiel Shenishal. Al alaso kel. Another explanation of the word shatil is that Kadosh Baruch Hu had to ask a she'ela, meaning he made a shvua, so kaviyachol, again, to the best of our understanding. He made a shvua that Yechaniah was not going to have a child, but then being sent to Degalus, and now a kapara was given, and now an allowance to have a child. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu almost like had to ask a she'ela, like, you know, now could it happen a Kosh Baruch Hu had to ask a Shayla on his Shavu that he made? And finally, Zerubbabel, another name of this child, Shinizra Bebavel, again, conception took place in Bavel. Umashmo, now the actual name of this child is Nechemiah Menchachalashmo. His name was Nechemiah. Presumably, the famed Nechemiah that came back to Eretz Yisrael in order to rebuild Bayit Sheni together with Ezra. The simple understanding of the Gemara is that even at the beginning of the Galus, I'll say this as most literally as possible, the seeds were planted for the redemption. Top of Lamech Chesed, all three lines from the top. Yehuda v'Chizkiah b'nei Rabbi Chiya. Haviyasfu b'yasfu b'zudasa. So Yehuda and Chizkiah, the two sons of Rabbi Chiya, were at a meal. Kame Rabbi, in front of Rabbi. V'lo havika amri v'lo midi. Now they were quiet. They were not comfortable to speak. Amar lahu, so Rabbi, understanding that they were a little bit uncomfortable, so he had the following advice. Agavr chamer adar dike. So let's give wine to the children, kehecha delemer milsa, so that they'll speak. Now, adar dike means children, but, you know, when I say child over here, probably the right way to think about it is not that they were, you know, school children, but in other words, they were younger. But Rabbi says, well, give them some wine, let's open them up a little bit. Kevin div, now, so they drank a little bit. And now they were more open to speak. Paschav Amr, so this is what they said. Ein bein David ba ad sheichlu shnei batei avos meisrael. So that when Mashiach is going to come is only when the two royal families are going to be destroyed. Ve'elohein rosh kol shebabavel, the leader of the Jewish people out in the exile, and Nasi Sheberet Yisrael, and the Nasi in Israel. Shenemar vayala mikdash la'even nagaf l'tzor michshol l'shnei batei Yisrael. Right, it'll serve as a stumbling block for the two families of the Jewish people, meaning once they're removed, so there's no longer an impediment, and Mashiach is going to come. Now, understand that Rebbe, as much as he instigated them to speak, now that they spoke, he'd like it if they just took it back. Because, let's remember, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi was from the Davidic dynasty. So, hearing this was not the greatest news for him. Amar lehem b'ni kotzim atem matilim li b'inai. He says, my children, you are thorns in my eyes. Amar leh Rebbe Chias says to Rebbe, you have to forgive them. Rebbe al yera b'einecha. Yayin nita m'shiv anosios. Wine is given with 70, meaning the gematria of yayin is 70. So nita m'shiva. B'shivim, and the word sowed secrets also a gematria of 70. So b'shivim osios nich nasiyan yatsa sowed, and in comes the yain, out comes the sowed. So Rabbi Chiya says to Rabbi, you'll have to excuse them. Meaning, yes, they spoke and yes, they said things they shouldn't have said. But what did you expect when once you gave them wine? Amr Chis, Amr Maruk, V'Amr La Amr Chis, Darish Mari Bar Mar, My Dichsiv. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Daniel, V'Yishkor Hashem Al Harav, V'Yivei Alenu Ki Tzadik Hashem Elokeinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu was excited to do bad upon us, to bring bad upon us, because he is a tzaddik. The pasuk in Daniel begs an explanation. The Gemara goes on. Mishum Tzadik Hashem V'Yishkor Hashem Al Harav, V'Yiveinu Alenu. The question the Gemara articulates, I don't understand. Kadosh Baruch Hu brings bad upon us, and for that he's a tzaddik. What does that mean? So, Ein Sakas Asar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Shehigdim. I'm sorry, in. Sorry. Gemara says yes. Let's understand the pasuk correctly. Both are true. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik and he brings bad upon us, and they're both correct. Sakas Asar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Shehigdim Galos Tzidkiyahu V'od Galos Yechanya Kayemes. That. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought about Galos Tzidkiyahu, as I explained just a couple of minutes earlier. The Tzidkiyahu was exiled 11 years after Yechanya. Meaning the waves of Galus 4, Bayis Rishon, was first Yechaniah was sent into exile. Beis Mikdash was not destroyed as of yet. Tzidkiyahu was exiled 11 years later with the destruction of Bayis Rishon. So the Gemara says, and Akash Baruch Hu did that out of Tzidkus. And also, by the way, the play on words over here in terms of Tzidkiyahu. That was the king that was exiled. So the old Galus Yechaniah Kayemes. Dichsiv Bebe Galus Yechaniah. Now as far as Yechaniah was exiled, so the Navi describes Acher Shamazgir Elef, that he was exiled together with Acher Shamazgir. The Gemara understands Cheresh Mazgir over here to mean Tamid Chachamim. Basically, what was set up in Bavel was a infrastructure, a yeshiva infrastructure, so that when we were all end up going to Bavel, so we had a yeshiva infrastructure and we were able to then still pass the Mesorah on. Now, the Gemara explains why a strange use of terminology to explain the Talmidei Chachamim that were exiled together with Yechaniah. They were described in the Navi as Cheresh and Mazgir. The Gemara explains both of these terms. Cheresh, Kevin Sheposchim HaKol Nasim Karacharashim. Cheresh, in that when they opened their mouth, these Talmidei Chachamim, So everyone else was like totally incapable of speaking. Meaning not because they were physically incapable of speaking, but because these Talmidei Chachamim were so erudite, so nobody could possibly say anything against them. Two, Mazgir, Kevish Shesogim Ba'alacha Shuvein Poschen, the word Mazgir from the word Sagur, which means closed. Once they closed an argument, nobody was able to reopen it. Again, speaking of their level of Talmidei, of being a Talmid Chacham. The Kamahayu, and how many were there in total? Elef, they were 1,000 in total. Okay, and that was the tzidkus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu laying the yeshiva basically in Bavel, setting it up as a foundation, and then having the rest of Bnei Yisrael, it wasn't Bnei Yisrael, it was only two of the tribes, but you understand, but the rest of Klal Yisrael back in back, out to Bavel. Continuing in the Gemara. Ula Amar Sheiktim Sheishanim Levano Shantim. Ula gives a different explanation in terms of what was the tzidkus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that he brought the destruction of Chorban Bayis Rishon. So the Gemara says as a second explanation, Ula's explanation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it 2 years early. Meaning the original plan was that Chorban was going to take place in 852 years after entrance upon Eretz Yisrael. I'll explain the numbers in just a moment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not do it in year 852, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it in year 850, 2 years earlier. Amrav Acha Bar Yaakov Shema Mina Mehera Demari Alma Tam Nemei Avicham Shem V'Tartin Havei. When you see the word Mehera mentioned in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do something quick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quick is not your and I quick. In other words, he works in bigger terms and bigger numbers. So for him, Mehera quickly is 852 years. Okay, now just a quick recap of the numbers. Okay, how do we get to 850? How do we get to 852? What's going on over here? So Rashi puts the history together. The first Beit HaMikdash was built 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a pasuk in Navi, right? You open up Malach and Aleph, you open up to the beginning of the sixth parak, it says there in the Navi that in the 480th year after Exodus from Egypt, so we built Bayis Rishon. We also know that the first Beit HaMikdash lasted for 410 years. So 410 plus 480, so that gets us to 890. So the destruction of Bayis Rishon took place 890 years after we left Mitzrayim. You'll take 40 years away because those are 40 years that we were in the desert. So now we're down to 850. So, just as a nice historical sketch, so we know that from the time that we entered Eretz Yisrael to the Churban Bayis Rishon was 850 years. The pasuk in the fourth parak of Devarim describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy us. We read that parsha on Tisha B'Av. So if you read the Psukim, Rashi just quotes an excerpt from the Psukim. It says, Ki avot avdun, maher, vishamei tishamdun. So it says in the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will quickly destroy us, and the double language means totally eradicate us. Okay, now, if the word Venoshantim comes out to Begamatria to the numbers 852, 852. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have waited 2 more years to 852, so then the Pasuk of we would have been totally destroyed. By virtue of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it 2 years earlier, meant that we had to suffer destruction, but not total destruction. And that's shot in the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a tzaddik, in that, yes, there's a silver lining to destruction, in that it was not total destruction.
It's like Exodus, they rushed because of things.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara continues now. Lefichach, we are halfway down. Alam Chesam at Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan Adam Yichidi Nivra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was created with just by himself, and the Gemara over here is going to give four different explanations why it is. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have started humanity with a group of people, meaning it wasn't. In other words, when you're starting humanity, there's more than one way to do it, but obviously the grand design is that it would start with one family, or one couple, and quite frankly, even one person. Why would that be? So the Gemara gives a number of explanations. Now, some of them we already heard in yesterday's daf. Some of them are going to be new. Adam Yechidi Nivra Mimneima Shalo Yeminim Omrim Harbe Rishuas B'Shamayim. First explanation of the Gemara is that people do not say that there are multiple higher beings. If humanity started with two or more people, so then you could have made the argument that, oh, well, each of the higher beings created one of the human beings. Okay, so to try to cut off that argument, so one person was created. Dever acher. Number two. Mimnei atzadikim, mimnei arashim, shlo yu atzadikim, omrim, anu b'nei tzadik, rasham, omrim, anu b'nei rasha. Another explanation, says the Gemara, is that everyone has a fighting chance to beat the Yetzahara. Meaning, had it been that humanity would have started with two original families, so then you could say, look, I'm from the bad family. I'm not from the good family. So in terms of my own personal behavior's concern, it's genetic. It's my DNA. You can't make that argument. We all come from this same person, so we all have the same fighting chance to either be a tzaddik or a rasha. Number three, davar acher. Mimnei mishpachos shli mishpachos mitagra zu bazu. So we don't want families fighting with one another. If humanity was started with two or more families, so that already would create a tribal warfare, going back, rooted all the way back to the original families. So by virtue of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created humanity with one person, with one progenitor, so that creates now, basically, we're all from the same person. Less fighting. Now the Gemara now notes, almost like an editorial comment, you probably noticed we still end up fighting. So the Gemara's editorial comment is just imagine. In other words, now we're fighting and we all come from the same person. And now just imagine had Akash Baruch Hu created two original families. How much more so? Dava Acher, fourth explanation. Mimnei HaGazlan, Mimnei HaSmanim. The thieves and the extortionists. If humanity started with more than one family, so then everyone would lay claim to, hey, that it belonged to you, that belongs to me, because it goes all the way back and he'll just simply ascend the genealogical chart all the way till he gets back to his family and he'll feel that his family is a rightful owner. Being that Adam HaRishon was created by himself, so basically everyone has now an equal claim to whatever they have. Now again, the Gemara makes the same editorial comment. You know, there are still a lot of people who steal and a lot of people who are extortionists. The Gemara says, but now just imagine had there been multiple original families. Ulahagi gedulaso. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes the Brisa. Ulahagi gedulaso. Shemalch machem lachim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shadam tovea kamen mitbos bechos mecha vekulam domen zelazeh. Ava Hakadosh Baruch Hu tovea kol adam bechos mashal adam arishon ve'ein echad mehem domen lechavero. The greatness of Hakadosh Baruch Hu is that when we make a mold and then we make an imprint based on that mold, every imprint comes out the same. Think of the coin. Every coin looks identical to one another. Hakadosh Baruch Hu made one single mold for humanity, adam arishon, and yet we all come out looking different. Why? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu created that? The design of humanity of humankind is basically mutation. That we all come out looking a little bit different than one another. Why was that a necessary component of creation? So here too, the Gemara gives a couple of explanations. Shelo yira adam dira navi shenavi yomer shalihi. So a person sees a nice house, a person sees a nice wife, and it'll just simply assume ownership. And if we were all to look the same, so then it'd be very hard to argue otherwise. What do you mean? I'm the owner of that house, right? Do you see the picture? On the front, that's a picture of me. Okay, I understand. But in other words, but it would be very hard to claim ownership to something if everyone did not have a unique identity. Shenemar, Vayimnam Rishayim, Oram Vizrora, Rima Tishaber. Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to take away some of the cunningness of thieves by making everyone individual looking. Tanya Haya Rabbi Meir Omer. Bishosh Adram Adam Mishtan Mechavero. In three ways we're unique from one another. Bekol Bemar Vidas. In the way we sound, in the way we look, and in the way we think. Bekol Vamar Mishum Erva. Now, as far as the way we stand and the way we look at the way we appear, so that's because of Arias, like we described earlier. Meaning that now that you and I, each one of us, have our own identity, so then our spouses are going to recognize us. Okay, that's important in order to make sure that there's no Arias, at least unintentional. Uvedas Mimnei HaGazlan VeChasmanim. Now, in terms of the fact that we all think differently, so that helps in terms of stealing and extortion. Because if we all thought the same, you would know where I hide my money. Because you would hide in the same place. So by virtue of the fact that we all think a little bit differently than one another, so again, it helps us maintain a certain amount of independent identity and helps us protect helps us think of individual ways of protecting our possessions. Tanu Rabbanan. Adam Nivra Be'er Shabbos Mipnei Ma. More about creation of Adam HaRishon. Why was Adam created on Friday? Gemara is going to give four explanations to this. One, shelo yaminim omrim shutav hayala lakash baruch b'maisa brachus. We don't want anyone. We don't want the heretics to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu had a partner in creation. Meaning, if we were created on day two, day three, so then you could, then the minim, the heretics, can make the argument. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu had a sidekick in creation. Didn't want that. Therefore, held us off to the end. Two, davar acher. Shim tazuch that Torah alav amar lo yitush kadmech ma'maisa brachus. If we ever think that we should be arrogant, so let's just remind ourselves that the gnat was created well before we were created. So it's a humbling thought to think that, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought of creating other things before us. Number three, davar acher. Kidei sheikanes l'mitzvah miyad. When we're created, we're going to go right into a mitzvah. Rashi describes that Shabbos, so that we go, we are created and we go into the mitzvah of Shabbos. Number four, davar acher kidei sheikanes l'seuda. And we're able to go and into a meal, meaning everything is prepared for us. Meaning that when we're created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set everything up so that we could just go and enjoy immediately. Gemara gives us an analogy, a king building the palace, preparing the meal, and then and only then inviting the guests. We're going to be quoting three psukim from Mishlei, ninth parak of Mishlei. So the first part, we're going to darshan every one of these psukim, so I'm just going to read them quickly. I'll start again. Chachmas banta beisa, chatzva amudah shiva, tavcha tivcha masecha yena, af archa shuchana, and number three, shachan uusel tikra agape maromas karas. Okay. Three psukim in Mishlei speaking to this idea. The Gemara now explains each one of the psukim in the context of our Gemara. Chachmas banta baisa, zemidaso shal Kadosh Baruch Hu shabaris kol olam kula bechachma. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with chachma, with wisdom. Chatzva amudah shiva, He made seven pillars. He made the world from seven pillars. Elo shivas. He made brachos. These are the 7 days of creation. Tosfos over here points out there are 6 days of creation. Tosfos here points out there are 7 days of creation. Second Tosfos on the Amud. De b'shiva yamin nivra olam. Shafa pisha b'shisha yamin nivra olam. Yes, the world was created in 6 days. Mikama kama hayachasa menucha. The world was deficient in menucha. Asha ba shabbos ba menucha. With the creation of day seven, Hashem created menucha. Rashi and Chumash gives this as one of the explanations. Right, Tosfos at the end quotes the pasuk vayichal lokim by yom hashvii. Hashem created on day seven. What did He create? So menucha. Right, Rashi on his parash on Chumash offers this as one of the pshatim. You see Rashi over there in Chumash, he offers a second pshat as well. Back to the Gemara. Tavcha tavcha masecha yena af archa shuchana. Elu yamim unaharz v'chol tzarchei ha'olam. Second pasuk in Mishlei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared the world, meaning the rivers, meaning operation of the world. Three, shachan erusa atikra, He called to His young, so it's the Adam v'chava, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu then created Adam v'chava, to invite them now to the prepared world. And agape meramas karas, and they were elevated on this high plane, meaning Adam and Chava, as they were enjoying the world. Rabba Barbachan Rami Ksiva Agape Viksiva Kisei. Adam and Chava sat where? So one pasuk, which we just read, says that they sat agape. It's a high elevation. And another pasuk indicates that they were on the Kisei. They were on a seat. Well, which one was it? And a seat is a lower elevation. So the Gemara says, "Betchila agape v'sof al kisei." Adam and Chava were sitting on a higher elevation, but after Chet Harishon, they were then demoted and they were dropped down a peg. Mipesi yasur heina chaser lev amrlo. Again, now we are quoting a number of psukim from the ninth parak of Mishlei. The Gemara quotes another pasuk, and in this context, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu mipis o lazer isha amrlo. Who seduced Adam to have eaten and engaged in Chet HaRishon? So the woman enticed him to do so. Dichsiv no efisha chaser leif. Okay. Tanya. Hi, Rabbi Meir Omer Adam HaRishon mikol alam kula hutzbar from. The Gemara quotes a braisa. In terms of the formation of Adam HaRishon, earth was taken from all over the world in order to make him. Shenemra gamei ra'u einecha. And Rashi quotes the pasuk in Zechariah in our Gemara. The Gemara also quotes it as well. In any event, right? I'm reading the last line of the Gemara in the parentheses. that the earth that was used in order to fashion Adam Rishon was amassed from the entire world. Amar Voshe Mishmei Derav Adam Rishon Gufo Mi Bavel. The Gemara over here is going to give another tradition similar to that which we just said, just a little more detailed. Akash Baruch Hu's, sorry. Adam's guf is from Bavel. Now it's interesting. The Rashi over here says on the very top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So he writes, I'm reading the Rashi. Al Shem Shahisa Amuka Nira Shemisham Lokech Lokach Nasem Mitzula. Right. In other words, it's basically you could see this by observation, meaning that the Bavel lands are very low. They're very low lying lands, and so presumably it was taken from there. And the assumption over here was that it was taken in order for the formation of Guf of Adam HaRishon. And Rosh of Eretz Yisrael, now the head of Adam HaRishon comes from Eretz Yisrael, kind of intuitive. Rashi simply says that it's Gvo v'chashuva mikol ha'aratzos, because of its significance. And the Eivar of Mishar ha'aratzos. And the limbs and the extremities of Adam HaRishon are coming from all the lands. Okay, and Agvosav, and the Gemara over here just goes into detail, and what about the back end of Adam HaRishon? Amar of Acha me'akra dega agma, comes from the swamps of Bavel. Okay, it could be, the Gemara does not give any depth, meaning just we now have the facts, so to say. Why should that be? So it could be that in anticipation of the fact that that humanity is going to be covering the entire world, so we're, so to say, we're like indigenous to all parts of the world, and we have some level of comfort all over the world. That could be one of the explanations of why this is necessarily the case. I'm Rav Yochanan Rabbi Chanina Shemus Reishos Havayom. Okay, we're talking about Maisa Bereishis, we're talking about creation of Adam. So the Gemara over here famously now counts the hours of day 6. Now when I say count the hours, remember, right, in Halacha, the way we view a day is that, all right, in other words, assuming a perfect day, which by the way, it was almost a perfect day back then, meaning that Adam HaRishon was created on the first day of Tishrei. One month from today, so and that's approximately around the time of the equinox. So it was about a perfect day anyway. So and what we do is we take the daylight hours from sunrise to sunset. Some say from dawn to dusk, but whatever. In other words, let's assume sunrise to sunset. We take the hours of that day, we divide that into 12, and that is how you get to Shah's money, or that's how you get to the hours of the day. So when we're counting 1, we're counting the first hour of the day. When we're counting 7, it's the 7th hour of the day. Okay, so, right, and obviously all the way down to 12. So we're talking about the daylight hours. And here we go now with an hour by an hour report of day 6 of creation. Shavishon Hutzbar Afro, in the first hour the earth was collected. Shnia Nasis Golam, in the second hour the mold of Adam HaRishon was formed. Shlishis Nimtechu Evarav, in the third hour, so the extremities were stretched out. Revias Nizrakabo Neshama, fourth hour the Neshama was given into Adam Rishon. Chamishas Amar Raglav. In the fifth hour, he stood. Shishas Karashemos. In the sixth hour, he named the animals. Shvias Nizdav Golo Chava. Seventh hour, so Chava was created for Adam Rishon. Shminis Alu Lamita Shnaim V'Yardu Arba'a. In the eighth hour, so they go to the bed and four come out. I'll explain who the four are in just a moment. Chiis Nitzdavu Shalalechom in Ailan. In the ninth hour, the mitzvah of not eating from the tree, Asir Sarach, and 1 hour later they're eating from the tree. That is depressing, admittedly. Achas Esrei Nidon, and the 11th hour they are judged. And Shtem Esrei Nitrad Vahalachlon, the 12th hour of the day, the last daylight hour of day 6, they were already expelled. Shenemar Adam Bikar Bal Yalin. Pasuk in Tehillim describes how we were not even staying one night in Gan Eden. I'll just finish the Gemara and then I'll come back to discuss a couple things. Am Rami Barchama in Chai Ra'a Shalatas Ba'adam Ela in Kain Nidma Lo Kebehema. As long as we quote the Pasuk in Tehillim from the 49th Perek, so the Gemara quotes one other drasha from that Perek, and that is that we only become vulnerable to the animals when we act like an animal. If we act like a human being, we are not vulnerable to the animal. Shenamar, Nimsho Kebehemos Nidmo. Okay. I want to go back for just a second. The one of the descriptions in the hour by hour account of the sixth day is that conception and birth take place immediately. Now we also know that based on the fact that Chava, one of her punishments was that childbirth was no longer going to be something painless. It was going to be painful. So the if you take a look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos writes V'yardu arba'a. So two new people came out on day one. And who were they? So if you like, take a look at Tosfos over here, he quotes Adam Chava Kayin V'tiyu Maso. So it's Adam Chava Kayin and the twin sister of Kayin. Aval Hevel lo nolad ba'osa pam kidichsiv v'tosev l'ladis. So Hevel was born later. Okay, so just as an interesting point, Tosfos points out that Kayin and Hevel were not, in other words, it's a bit of a misconception. Kayin and Hevel are twins. Tosfos reports that's not so. Kayin was born with his twin, Hevel at a later point in time. Okay, and as far as Hevel was concerned, so he came out with two twins, but two sisters, so to say. I assume they're sisters, may not be. Okay. There is such a, I've said this before, but I'll share it again. It's an interesting thesis, theory, Chiddush, by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He writes it a couple of times in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov. He writes, it's so interesting. He says that whenever there was a birth from Adam Arishon going forward, so it was always twins, meaning that the natural birth involved a birth of twins, and specifically a boy and a girl. If you look at the, I don't have a chumash in front of me. Please forgive me. But if you look at the chumash, though, there are a couple of indicators of this of Rav Yaakov. Everything I'm saying, Rav Yaakov says in his Perushan Chumash. So he says that number one, he says if you look carefully at the birth of Shais, meaning Shais was born, but only after Kayin kills Hevel. If you look carefully at the Pesukim, you read the Pesukim really carefully, you'll see that the Torah describes that Shais comes out by himself. Meaning, because what was the purpose of Shais being born? As a replacement of Hevel. Meaning, Shais wasn't, quote-unquote, a normal birth of the time. A normal birth of the time involved twins, a boy and a girl. But Shais comes out, and again, read the Pesukim carefully, you'll see it inside. Shais comes out simply by himself as a replacement of Hevel. And then, another point that Rav Yaakov makes is that if you look at the birth of Yaakov and Esav, right? And from our standpoint, the first twins of the Torah. So, he neto min bivitna, right? And behold, there were twins inside of her. So Rav Yaakov says it's a strange language, hine. What does that mean, and behold? Right? Every time you see the word hine, Rav Yaakov points out, it's like, wow, that was unexpected. So Rav Yaakov says, what was unexpected? He writes brilliantly. You know what was unexpected? Twins came out. That part wasn't unexpected. But you know what came out that was unexpected? They were two boys. Meaning that, Rav Yaakov says, that didn't happen. Meaning what typically happened was it was a boy and a girl. The fact that Rivka gave birth to two boys, so Rav Yaakov says that was the hine. That was the part that was amazing. Anyway, the Tosfos over here reminded me of Rav Yaakov. Let's go back to the Gemara. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rebbe, B'shash, Shabikesh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Levaros, Asa Adam, Bara, Kas, Achash, HaMalachi, Asharis. Kadosh Baruch Hu is now considering creating Adam Rishon, and now he brings in the Malachi, Asharis. Am Ralam, and he says to him, Ritzon, Kham, Nasa, Adam, Etzalmenu. What do you think? Let's make Adam in our Tzalem. Am Ralafan, Ribbon Shalom, Mama, Asenu. So Malachi, Asharis says, let's just have a little more information, like what's it going to look like? Am Ralam, Kach, Vakach, Masav. So he says to them, this is how they're going to. This is what they're going to be like. Am lefanu ribon shalom ma'anosh ki siskernu uven adam ki tifkedenu. Right, so many Rosh Hashanah allusions in today's Gemara. Really, really gets us ready for Rosh Hashanah. So they say basically, really, that doesn't sound like it's worth it. Basically, the Malachim say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe scratch the idea. Hoshi datzbau ketana beinem v'sarfam. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a small finger, touches a Malachim, and burns a Malachim. Okay, he didn't like that advice. V'chein kashnia, and the second group of malachim, same thing happened. Kashlishis, get to a third group of malachim. Amar lefanu Rabbanu Shalom Rishonim she'amar lefanecha mahu ilu. So the third group of malachim Ashari, so they wised up. They said, look, the advice given by the first two groups didn't really help. Kol ha'olam kulo shecha hu kol ma she'ater rotze la'asos b'olamecha aseh. So basically, it's your world, you want to do it, Go ahead. And then we move ahead now to the generations of the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga. So now the Malachim say, the third group of the Malachim say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, seems like the first two groups are right, doesn't it? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm patient. This doesn't frustrate me. In other words, you just have to be a little bit patient. We're talking now about the dimensions of Adam Arishon. It's not necessary to understand the Gemara over here literally. When we're talking about the dimensions of Adam Arishon, we could just be talking about his intellect and his capacity to understand. So he is made sofa olam vatsofa. He's from one end of the world to the other. Shenamar lemin hayom asher bara Elokim Adam al haaretz lemikseh shamayim va'ad kitzei hashamayim. Kevin shesar chinech Hakadosh Baruch Hu yado alav umiato. And once Adam sins, so Hakadosh Baruch Hu takes his hand, kaviyachol, puts it on Adam Arishon and diminishes him. Shenamar achor v'kadam sarasani v'tashas alai kapecha. You placed your hand upon me. This is an allusion to the diminishment of Adam Rishon after eating. Amar v'lazer Adam Rishon min ha'aretz ad l'rakia haya. We have another version of basically the same memra. It's and over here it describes the vertical height of Adam Rishon. And again, height over here does not have to be understood literally. It could just simply mean heights of intellect and understanding. Shenemar l'min yom asher bara Elokim Adam al ha'aretz l'mikseh ha'shamayim. Okay, so basically now it's the same basic idea. It's just that his height goes from the earth to the rakia. Now the Gemara says, now are they arguing with one another? Says the Gemara, says no, that the horizontal distance is the same as the vertical distance. Okay. It goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. Meaning these Gemaras, I'm reading the Gemaras, I'm explaining them basically Kipshuta. They're not to be understood Kipshuta. Meaning obviously the Gemaras over here are communicating ideas. Ideas which, quite frankly, I don't have my head, you know, I don't wrap my head around these ideas as well. Even though I should be of the age where I should be able to wrap my head around these ideas. But, you know, I'm limited. Significantly limited. So, but obviously the Gemaras over here are communicating very, very powerful ideas. Adam Arishon Balashon Arami Sapar. Adam Arishon spoke Aramaic. Shenemar Vali Mayi Karu Re'echa Kel. And the word Re'echa, although it is a Hebrew word, but it also could be an Aramaic word, also understood as I don't understand your thought process of Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'hainu Amar Yishlakish Mai Dichsev. Zeit Sefer Tolos Adam Lamech Arach Kadosh Baruch Hu Dor Dor V'Dor Shav Dor Dor V'Chachamav. Adam Arisho got a window into seeing the future. He was able to see future generations. Kevin Sheigel Ador Shal Rabbi Akiva. And now as he's watching the movie of the history of the world unfold, so he gets to the point of Rabbi Akiva. So Samech B'Sorah So. The Torah Rabbi Akiva makes him very happy. But he sat to see the demise of Rabbi Akiva. This is not the first Gemara that we've seen where it's difficult to grasp the life of Rabbi Akiva, meaning his greatness and his and the suffering that he went through in terms of his death. Amar v'lima yikar re'echa kel. Now the reason why we bring this up is because it brings us back to that pasuk that we quoted earlier, which is Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I have a very difficult time understanding your thought process. Amar v'yudam rav adam rishon min haya. Okay, the Gemara now is going to speak in not complimentary terms about Adam HaRishon. The Gemara here describes him as a heretic. Shenemar v'yikra Hashem Elokim al Adam v'yamar lo ayeka. And the Gemara understands the words ayeka, ein nata libecha. Right? Your heart is turned against me. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Moshech bar Lasohaya. More uncomplimentary terms in describing Adam Rishon, Moshech bar Laso, trying to undo his bris milah. Now, we don't have anywhere in Chumash where it says that he had a bris milah. The mitzvah itself was only given to Avraham and his progeny, but the Gemara over here obviously working with an assumption that Adam had a bris milah, or maybe he was created mahu. I don't know. K'siv ha'acha ve'hima ka'adam avru bris, u'k'siv ha'sam es brisi hefar. Okay, so using two psukim to speak to this idea. And a third unflattering way to describe Adam Arishon, Rav Nachman Amar Kofer bi'ikar haya. He was a denier. K'siv ha'acha avru bris, u'k'siv ha'sam ve'amru al asher azvu bris Hashem. Tanan Hasam, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. This is from Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Elazar Meir Havashukah Lo Motar V'Dama Shetashav La'Apikores. So you should spend your time learning Torah, but at the same time also, you should at least have the answers for the Apikores. I'm Rav Yochanan Lo Shnai Le'Apikores of Dikocham Apikores Yisrael Koshekin Depakar Tvei. Gemara says, yes, you should have answers for the Apikores, but debate the Apikores of the Umos HaOlam. Do not debate the Apikores of the Yisrael. It's not going to be fruitful. It will not end well. Rashi writes over here, Shari hikir v'kafer umitokach medaktek v'lo sucho la'ashivo davra mekubalo. In other words, since he at one point in time was in the reservation, then he left the reservation, so he's not ready to hear or listen to any one of your answers. So it is not worthwhile. I'm Rav Yochanan. Kol makom shepakur aminim chivasam b'tzidan. Now there are psukim in the Torah that are basically fodder for the heretics, but if you just read a little bit more in the Chumash, so the answer is right there by the side. Right, the Gemara in Megillah. Second time today, I'm quoting the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah describes how the Torah was translated by the Shimon Zakenim. Talmi brought the Chachmei Yisrael 70, the Chachmei Yisrael down to Egypt, put them in separate rooms in order to translate the Torah, right? The Septuagint, and the miracle took place in which all 70 translated each one of the psukim identical to one another. Meaning, his goal in doing so was to show how inconsistent we are in our translation of the Torah. And the Gemara over there, Megillah, goes through some of the psukim that we're going to be quoting right from here, because at face value, some psukim seem as if there is there's more than one deity, and other psukim that are hashkafically challenging. Our Gemara over here, not making reference to the Gemara over there, Megillah, but our Gemara over here simply points out that if you just look in the psukim right there in context, you'll see that although there is an indication of some sort of heretical viewpoint, but right alongside, the answer is right there. So a number of examples. Let's go. Number one, Nasa Adam Etzalmeinu, let us create, as if there's multiple deities. Vayivra Elokim Asa Adam Etzalmo. But then, Pasuk right alongside says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself created. Now, why then, why do we need the question, why do we need the answer? Why doesn't the Torah just simply give a monolithic/monotheistic view, and why go through this process? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to answer that question in just a little bit. Another example: Havan Nirda V'Navla Sham Sfasam. Let's go down. Let's mix them up. This is by the Haflaga. Vayered Hashem LeRosa Seir V'Samigdal. But again, you just read on a little bit more, and it says Hashem went down. Kisham Niglu Elav Halokim La El Haone Osi B'Yom Sarasi. Again, more indications of first start in the plural, then singular. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav, kashem elokim b'chol kareinu elav, umi kam chayisol goy echad ba'aretz, asher hachu elokim levtos lo la'am. Again, side by side, a pasuk that starts in the plural and ends in the singular. And one more example the Gemara quotes is from Sefer Daniel. Ad de kerson ramu va'atik yomin yasiv. There are thrones, and he sits on the throne. Again, starts from the plural, ends in the singular. Hanach lamali. So the Gemara says, now why? Like, in other words, why go through this process of starting with multiplicity, ending with the singular? So lamali kid Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osa Davar Elim Ken Nimlach Ben Pamali Shemala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu consults. Shenemar Begizos Inim Pizgamo V'maimer Kedishin She'ilta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not do anything without first consultation. Now, I'll follow up with another question and answer, which is not in the Gemara. Why do we need to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu consults? So I think the simplest answer, and probably the correct answer, probably, hopefully, is that we have a mitzvah to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets a model in terms of how to behave, and we have to behave in kind. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that to teach us midos, to teach us proper way to conduct ourselves. Meaning we should not do anything without first consultation. First we should consult, and then we should do. And we're modeling ourselves after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when he says, Nasa Adam Etzalmeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu consults. Right? Does he need to consult? Obviously no. But in other words, he's modeling for us the behavior, the proper behavior in which we need to behave. Now, hatenekulo ad de karson ramiu my ikal amemar. Now, the Gemara says good, and that explains all the pesukim we quote from Chumash. But that pasuk in Daniel, that doesn't really help us, because the pasuk in Daniel is talking about multiple thrones, meaning that's not a consultation issue. Multiple thrones, what's that? So, echel of echel of David. So the Gemara gives a first pshat, which is one throne is for Akash Baruch and the other one is for Kisei David, the throne of David. Titanya Echelov Echelov David of Rabbi Kiva. Now this is the viewpoint of Rabbi Kiva. Amalo Rabbi Yossi Akiva and Masaya Taosa Shchinachol. So Rabbi Yossi hears this pshat, he rejects it out of hand. What are you doing? You're putting side by side the throne of Akash Baruch and the throne of David HaMelech? Ela Echelov Din Vechelov Tzedakah. One is for justice and the other one is for charity. Again, by the way, just another Rosh Chodesh Elul illusion. It's really amazing today's daf. Another Rosh Chodesh Elul illusion is that the purpose of blowing shofar is to move HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the Kisei Hadin to the Kisei Rachamim. Okay, right in today's daf. Rosh Chodesh Elul. Kiblei Minei Olo Kiblei Minei. Rabbi Kiva hears this from Rav Yossi. Did he accept it or did he maintain his own pshat? Tashma detanya echel ledin vechel letzaka div Rabbi Kiva. All right, we have another braisa. Clearly, Rabbi Akiva accepted this pshat. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Akiva malacha itzel hagada. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah reprimands Rabbi Akiva. Stay out of the agadata. Klach etzel negam ve'olos. You learn mishnayos, you learn negam, you learn olos, and you are masters of them. That's your area of expertise. You stay in that area. Ella echel kisev echel l'saraf raf. So the multiple thrones that Daniel was describing, one was talking about the throne, the other one was talking about the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kisei leishev lav sraf sraf lahadom raglav. The throne is what he sits on, and the footstool is for, again, kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, for his feet. Meaning one for the higher worlds and one for his dominion on this world. Okay. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Amar Rav Nachman. Yeah, are you right? In other words, and think about that.
Is this like
think about that in the context of this Gemara over here. It's really, really amazing. All right.